about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay. What is this place? What are you? What would you like? What does this mean? Let's not do this. Let's not take off our clothes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. It's Rodney on the Rock. Just flew in from the Bay Area. My arms are really tired.
That is obvious, Lee. What is clear, that our view is, we don't support that view.
Debbie Downer.
And now.
Hey, Kevin. Halloween spooks outside my window. That's right, motherfucker.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know. I don't feel that yet. Not yet.
Really?
Seems early.
I don't know, dude.
Oh,
it's getting close, man.
Seems early.
It's like 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
3 weeks is not enough for Halloween spooks.
3 weeks away from playing it? I agree.
3 weeks away from the holiday that it celebrates.
Can I tell you the conversation I just had with Beer Mug in the Hole?
Sure. Hey, Muggs, how's it going? Good. I got a brand new song that I love. I got a new favorite song. I said, okay. What is your new favorite song? And he said, My Summer Vacation by Ice Cube. And I said, that's your new favorite song?
He said, how long has that
been?
Yeah.
I don't know. How long has it been? 20 years?
Wow.
I feel like it's
it's his new favorite song.
Okay.
So,
well, all right. Him.
Then, okay. I mean, if that's the way you want to go.
Okay.
His new Muggs favorite.
Muggs is awesome, by the way.
He never disappoints, right?
Mm-mm. He never disappoints.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It is the 6th of October.
So,
I'm sorry.
Patriots, first of all,
cheater.
Right?
Cheater.
What?
I'm just
go ahead, Kevin. You want to do
cheater.
It? Go ahead and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said 6.
You blew it.
October instead of Rocktober.
All right. So,
my bad.
So, here's my whole thing. So, I'm watching Monday Night Football last night, and it's a terrible game, and the Seahawks look awful. Thank God for their defense because they managed to keep Detroit to 3 points. All right. So they're leading the game, the whole game, but it's slipping away from them in the final minutes. And Detroit is, barreling down the field. There's less than 2 minutes left, and they're clearly going to score. And we are going to lose a humiliating game on Monday Night Football and be at, what would we be? I guess we'd be at 1-3 is where we'd be, right? Same as the Lions. So, anyone watched the game, saw what happened. Cam Chancellor, an incredible play, managed to force a fumble at the end zone that ended up going out and becoming a touchback. And the Seahawks get the ball, and they save the game, and they save the season, and they run out the clock, and they win the game. And whew, boy, was that a mess. I mean, it's a win, but my God, was that ugly and embarrassing. But at least the Seahawks win, right? So, game ends and the announcers wrap it up. Hey, good night. And then they throw it to the post game show and then they start talking about the game and then they move on. They start doing other sports. And I go, well, I'm going to bed.
What were you watching?
Yeah, I don't think you were watching the same game.
I was watching the game on ESPN where nobody said a word about anything.
Right after it ended is when they all realized it was a bad call.
Well, it was after I had turned off the TV and gone to bed. So
Then
I wake up this morning and I walk into the studio here and my computer is on fire because the internet is so hot over this thing. I mean, literally there are flames and smoke detectors going off, sprinklers are going off because of all the outrage over this thing that nobody watching the game, the announcers, the refs, the players, not one person knew anything about at the time that I turned off the TV. So the whole thing is such a shock to me. I'm a shock to the system to just have woken up to this a few minutes ago. But, Allie, you tell me what your experience was and the thoughts that were going through your head last night as you were watching.
If you could have seen the ESPN analysts trying to wrap their heads around the referee saying, no, that was an illegal bat, it's a penalty, they should have brought the ball back to first and 6 inches, essentially. And seeing Steve Young trying to word it in a way and it wasn't working. And then Dilfer, like, but what if? And then he'd move his arms, like, okay, you're just moving your arms different.
Right.
You're still not saying anything. And then Ray Lewis trying to get words out, but it just kept going. Well,
what was it you wanted them to say that they weren't saying? What were they having problems expressing? Because for folks who don't know, what happened is after Cam Chancellor knocked the ball out of Calvin Johnson's hand, then it went into the end zone, and then another Seattle player, KJ Wright, batted it out of the end zone instead of jumping on it.
Which is a penalty.
Yes.
Which is what he should have done.
Right.
A penalty that the ref who's 10 feet away from him didn't know. None of the other refs knew. None of the NFL refs that watch in New York knew. The announcers didn't know. I mean, a complete surprise to everybody. Look, the rule book is too complicated if nobody on the field knows the rules. But what were you hoping they would say, Allie, that they weren't saying?
Oh, I was hoping that one of them would be able to explain what the rule was straight out. And he and kept saying, this is Rule 12, Article 4, Position 1. But none of them could wrap their heads around that this was a rule. And they kept saying, well, I mean, if no one knows a rule, it can't be a rule, right? No, that's not what is being said at all. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal television just to watch.
I am sad that I missed it. Apparently, I got out too early. So
here's the thing. If that was the Patriots... they would be investigating every ref on that field. They'd be saying Kraft bought beach houses for each and every one of them.
Here's my thing. If it was the Patriots, they should have been saying all those things.
Whatever.
If it were the Patriots, they're the smartest team in the league. Belichick would have known that rule. That player would have known that rule. And they would have done it intentionally to cheat on purpose as opposed to it being 100% an accident from everybody on the field.
But it wouldn't be cheating on purpose because...
Because what?
Well, no, it would be cheating on purpose.
I'm saying the Seahawks player didn't know it was against the rules. Had no idea. Did it on purpose because he didn't know it was against the rule. I'm saying the Patriots would have done it on purpose and gotten away with it.
It's like Seattle gets away with stuff on Monday Night Football, though.
Hmm.
Yeah. The fail Mary. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. It's weird.
Look,
cheers.
Nobody wants to win a game like this. Nobody. And the Seahawks shouldn't have won the game as it was last night. I mean, they were already lucky even before this happened. They were lucky. I mean, that was a terrible performance last night.
I thought
Russell Wilson was going to get beat up. I mean, I'm surprised he could walk off the field with as many times as he got knocked down.
You got to hand it to Detroit's coach. He's like, we're not going to cry about it. Like, he was just ready to move on. I was like, my God, sir.
You're allowed to be sad.
Right?
Well, this is one of those calls at the end of the game that could have completely changed.
Oh, absolutely. And there are very few of those. Yeah.
Yeah, very few of those. I mean, you know, it's definitely a black eye on the Seahawks. It's a black eye on the referees. It's a black eye on the NFL. It's not what any of us go to sports
but
for.
But mostly the Seahawks. I think it's mostly the Patriots.
Cheaters who cheat.
Pete Carroll. Ugh.
Look, here's how I look at it.
And we have two cheating teams to deal with.
And I say this irrespective of the team that was involved. I would say this if it were a Cardinal, Kevin. If you don't know what the rule is, you still have broken the rule and you shouldn't get away with it. You should be penalized. But I do think intent makes a difference. If you make a right turn on red in a state where that's not allowed, but you don't know that's not the law and you get a ticket, it's a fair ticket. But it doesn't feel like it's your fault if you didn't know the rule. You know what I mean?
So you're saying they didn't cheat on purpose. They cheated without knowing it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So if that makes a difference to anybody, I believe that's what's going on here. But the reality is, it should never have unfolded the way it is. And it was a sad thing to wake up to. I'm sorry that it happened.
It's all right, Bean. You didn't do it.
I still feel bad. Are you the one that batted the ball out of the end zone? No, I'm not at all.
All right.
So anyway, so that happened.
Yeah. Good times. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'm going to pepper spray you in the face.
Oh. Even that
I think that's a very reasonable reaction
Even
to Kevin's comment.
3 seconds is so annoying.
So shrill.
Wow, that's painful.
Bear!
Oh, my God.
Bear! Why are you awake, Bear?
Oh. It's a great time of year as TV shows are coming back. Very excited about iZombie, which was one of my favorite shows last year. It's coming back tonight
for season two. Really was so fun, and I'm so happy it's back tonight.
We have Malcolm Goodwin, who plays the cop on that program, coming on the show today. Very excited about that. We have strange apps that you use. You have an app that most people are not aware of. You love it. You use it all the time. Beans is, and I'm not kidding, how many people are in space right now?
It's a great app. Very useful.
What?
But here's the thing about the app store.
He'll check it, and it'll go six. And then he'll go, all right.
Here's the thing about the App Store is that there are, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of apps available. you'd be doing us a real favor if you turn us on to something awesome that we don't know about later on.
Right. How many people do you think bought – how many people are in space right now? Because I'm guessing this one person. One purchase.
I don't know. I mean, obviously somebody thought enough of the idea to build the app, put it up in the App Store. So I assume there are others out there who haven't.
Yes. Thanks for that info, Bean. How dare you? How dare you, sir? Did I come on too strong there?
That was fine.
And Steve Aoki in the studio today.
Love Steve.
Love him. Very excited about that. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, keep on listening for your chances to win tickets for the Red Bull Sound Space this Thursday to see the band X Ambassadors. They are very good, by the way. They're going to be performing live, plus everyone who gets in gets a key that qualifies you to win a new car. It's a 2015 Jeep Renegade. Get the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up. Good morning, Ralph Herman.
Good morning, boys and girls, children of all ages. Big ratings last night for Monday Night Football as the Lions took on the Seattle Cheetahawks, and just an amazingly surprising ending at the end. Everyone's still talking about it this morning. So congratulations, Cheetahawks.
Bean, you there?
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I guess thanks. I guess I'm sure they accept the win. They'll take it. They're happy to be one game behind the Arizona Cardinals in the division.
Here's my thing about the whole. I had no idea that it was illegal to do that. Every player in the NFL does know that if you fall on the ball in the end zone, it's automatically a touchback.
It's your ball, right?
Automatically a touchback,
right?
So why would the guy choose not to fall on the ball, but instead bat it out of the back of the end zone? Mm.
Did anyone ask him that last night? Again, I didn't see any of the post game interviews.
Yes,
did anyone ask him that?
He said because cheat. That's what
did he say that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. Huh. You take that for what it's worth. I don't understand it, quite frankly.
That sure would have been a way cleaner story if he had just fallen on the ball like everyone else does.
That's just what some people would do, but what do I know? Mm-hmm. I'm not a cheater. From cheaters to stabbers. Oh, Hobie, say it ain't so. Jeremy Jackson. From Baywatch. Played Hobie Buchanan, of course, on that show. David Hasselhoff's son, young son.
Sure.
He's all grown up, and he's all stabby. He has been accused of stabbing a woman, getting in an argument with her in August near her L.A. home, flipping out and stabbing her in the back, arm, and leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The woman claims that Jeremy tried to jack her boyfriend's car. She tried to stop him, and that's when he unleashed with the stabbing. Here's the thing. This is his second stabbing arrest this year. He was arrested in April for stabbing a man, but he claimed it was self-defense. The DA agreed, so they didn't press charges. But police are saying he's stabbing people so much that Kevin thinks he's Vanilla Ice. That's how stabby this actor is. Stabbing people. It's all around stabbing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good times.
Yeah, it was good times.
That was good times.
Hey, it's Tori Spelling. Why don't you pipe down? Jason Priestley's not pleased, apparently, that Tori Spelling came out on a Lifetime special and announced that she and Jason Priestley did the deed while filming Beverly Hills 90210. But we stayed great friends afterwards, she added. Jason Priestley now is being barraged with questions about this, and he has tweeted simply that it's nobody's business. And he's right, and she should just not... Look, I know she's desperate for ratings and what have you, but don't throw other people's personal lives under the bus.
That's a co-worker. Don't come out now and say, oh, I had sex with this guy 25 years ago.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that.
Show some decorum.
Right, at least say Dylan. Oh, that's not...
That's not the point.
I think that's
okay.
The point.
Sorry.
Pepsi celebrating the Back to the Future anniversary with a new edition of their soft drink called Pepsi Perfect. Fans of the movie will remember that Michael J. Fox's character Marty McFly arrived in the future in 2015, in October 15th of 2015, and he orders a Pepsi, and he gets a Pepsi Perfect. So the company will celebrate the appearance of their soft drink in that film in that momentous moment by making a limited edition bottle of the soda, Pepsi Perfect, made with real sugar, which you can buy for $20.15.
Wow!
It's because it's 2015, Kevin. See the tie-in?
Wow.
But it's limited edition.
Right, but shouldn't it be like $2?
But no, it's limited edition. There will only be 6,500 bottles made, and the first 200 will be earmarked for the New York Comic Con this coming weekend. So
wow.
You can get your Pepsi Perfect at the Comic-Con booth there in New York for all our New York listeners.
There is a there's quite a I don't know what to call them. There's a fan base out there for the real sugar soft drinks.
Yeah,
a lot of people out there. They go in. They call it the Mexican Coke. Sometimes you know they bottle it down there. A lot of people will go into the go into the supermarket or 7-Eleven. Well, hey, do you have the real Coke? You know, the Mexican Coke. And people pay more money for that than they do for the artificially sweetened soda that the rest of us drink.
Well, here's the thing.
You can tell the difference.
Here's the thing. It tastes much better.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. And they say, despite whatever knocks may be put on cane sugar regarding your health, it's much healthier for you in reality than corn syrup is. So
it tastes better and it's good for you.
Well, it's not good for you. It's better, better for you. Yeah. So that's why.
Why did they make the switch all those years ago to the artificial sweeteners, Ralph? Is it cheaper?
It's not artificial. It's still corn syrup. You know, it's made from corn. It's not like stevia or saccharin or some of these other artificial sweeteners. But corn syrup is just much cheaper to manufacture, and also they can augment the corn farmers of the United States of America by paying them large amounts to develop the corn syrup versus cane sugar, which is largely gotten from other countries. Not a lot of cane sugar fields in the United States, except for maybe Hawaii. Okay.
All right.
But not good for you, that corn syrup, apparently. That's what they say. So there's more than you ever wanted to know about soda.
Thanks.
Oh, you have lost my business dancing with the stars. Thank you very kindly. You will receive a strongly worded letter from this viewer.
Have you watched
every single recap clip from the internet that I can find?
So, no.
Gary Busey was eliminated last night. You don't do that to Gary Busey.
That was the only reason I would have watched, but didn't.
You don't do that to the Buse. You leave the Buse alone.
Yeah.
Right?
That's sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurts.
And in more TV news, it looks like Taylor Swift will be a special guest star in the upcoming edition of Law & Order SVU. Mariska Hargitay told Entertainment Tonight that Taylor will do an episode after she wraps her 1989 tour. Big fan of the show. She knows she named her cat after Mariska Hargitay's character from that show, Olivia Benson. And Mariska Hargitay also appeared in her video for Bad Blood, so she's going to be on Law & Order SVU.
People who name their pets after TV shows are legally insane.
Yeah,
they
should be put down.
Just craziness.
Hey guys, I had my dog Chin Ho named after the Hawaii Five-0 character.
What?
Wasn't aware of it. I felt like when you were saying that, you were kind of had somebody else in mind, even though we weren't talking about my dog.
Law & Order SVU, that's the ultra-violent bad one, right? Oh, come on, murder her. Would I just watch that episode in an endless loop if she gets brutally murdered on that show?
I would guess so.
I'd be going, every time it came on.
What about?
I've been doing that. I mean, she got stabbed in the face. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. She gets decapitated. Pants dropping time. Right? Who's with me?
Well,
zero people.
Oh, never mind. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Elizabeth Shue. Still adore her so much. One of my big, big crushes of my youth, that Elizabeth Shue. That Adventures in Babysitting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, she's a cutie in that.
Don't F with the babysitter.
And that Leaving Las Vegas, when she was a whore. That was cute. She was cute in that one. 52 years old today. Amy Jo Johnson. She's one of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers before she went on to a career with Felicity and other projects. She's 45 years old.
All right.
Yon Griffith. You know him from that Forever show? Remember he was the guy who lived forever? I don't think it's on anymore. That's an ironically named television show, Forever, since it was just canceled. But he was also Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movies, 42 years old. And Jeremy Sisto celebrates his 41st birthday. I remember Jeremy Sisto. Of course, you know him from 6 Feet Under and a ton of other stuff. But he made his mark playing Jesus in a miniseries. That's when he first sort of made a splash on television. And he appeared on a late-night talk show with two radio chuckleheads. And they played a game called Kerplinko together or something.
Do you remember that?
Do you remember your appearance? It was you guys appeared on the Craig Kilborn show.
I believe you're right.
Alongside Jeremy Sisto.
Yep.
And you had to play some lame-ass game called Kerplinko or
any of this, Kevin?
Pachinko, or
I remember that it happened, but
none of these details are sparking any recounting.
I remember that we did it,
right?
Okay.
And I think we won.
What was the game, though? What was the game? Do you remember?
I don't know I didn't know
this
then.
This is your life I'm talking about. This happened in your life. But this isn't some movie from 1984 that you don't remember. This is your life. How many TV talk shows have you been on?
Hundreds. Rob,
no,
hundreds.
You haven't. Like two. How can this not be a memory that you can fill in some blanks for us?
I love watching Kevin when he's trying to remember.
Both of you are like, you had brain trauma.
We've had a lot.
Millions and millions and millions of Angelinos wake up with my next guests every morning. They are the morning guys on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. There it is.
Then you played Kaplunko or something.
Yeah, it was in something similar to that, but I don't remember the name either.
It was your life!
Yeah, but how much did we care about that game?
20 years ago.
That game, who cares?
I would ask again, how many late-night TV talk shows have you been on? That would seem like a fairly significant moment in a radio
I would never
career.
Have thought about it again if you hadn't brought it up today.
Bean, weren't
would
we also on a show where we were bagging groceries?
Yes, we were on some game show.
It was a race.
We also appeared in a mini-series based on a Jackie Collins book. We actually were in that, did a little acting.
Ralph, it's all stupid. That's why we try to forget it. It's all stupid.
I understand when you have an expansive career like you guys, it's hard to remember all the details of all your momentous moments.
All the TV shows we've been on.
You have
stuff,
just so. you're a multimedia threat.
Thank you,
both
Ralph,
of you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the shows.
Robert Martinez from Pasadena, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. We are going to hook you up with a pair of tickets for the Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Your chance to win all week long. Details at krock.com.
Time for...
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Oh, God.
During
what's
the
about?
During the commercials and during the songs that you guys get to hear, we have to hear Bean talk.
Yeah, don't ever complain about us playing Red Hot Chili Peppers again, ever.
Because it's worse
least
for us.
You get to hear that.
Right.
You don't have to hear this.
So Bean's, he's reading on the internet and stuff, and he has conversations with us that none of us care about.
Now, define conversations with us.
All right. He says a sentence. Right?
He has conversations with himself out loud.
And then nobody answers. The rule is don't answer because he's just bringing up a topic out of nothing. Nobody's talking about it. We're not having a conversation about it. Just out of the blue, okay. Bean says something.
Right. But can I say, let me just say something by means of, in my defense and as a disclaimer, it's called office chit-chat, you guys.
Right.
It goes on everywhere mm-hmm. in every workplace around the world.
Right.
People talk to their people who are nice and
right.
friendly
right.
talk to their coworkers.
But here's the thing that I want to tell you is that Allie and I talk to each other, and Ralph and I talk to each other, and Chip and Allie, and Chip and Ralph, and me and Dave the King of Mexico,
every
and Omar.
Dynamic in the office.
Everybody else has a good time with it. But you say things that aren't conversations and we don't care about.
Right.
So... I write them down verbatim, and they are...
Thanks for that info, B!
And we do not need further clarification.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel like you just don't get what I'm trying to get
We
at.
Get it. Let's just let that be a caveat right at the top. We get it.
So, Allie, by the way, a lot of times he'll point it at somebody
that
he thinks he'll get a response from.
Sure.
So, Allie, I was in Finland visiting Santa Claus, the OG Santa Claus. Now, right there...
That's not office chit-chat, by the way.
And the first little kid that approached was German, and Santa Claus spoke to him in German. And then the next kid was speaking French, and Santa spoke to him in French. It was amazing. No one said anything. Then a kid started talking some European language I didn't recognize, and Santa spoke to him in his language. When it was my turn, was waiting in line with kids for Santa Claus.
God.
When it was my turn, I walked up to him and spoke to him in English. And he spoke English back to me. Nothing. It was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
How is that?
Thanks for that info,
Bean. An interesting story. It was magical.
That some dude knows many languages. That's the point of your story. There's a guy who knows a lot of languages.
I just thought the fact that Santa Claus can talk to
right.
every little kid in his own language
that.
Is such a sweet thing.
Yeah, it wasn't Santa Claus. That was a guy who knew a lot of languages.
You said it was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in your life.
I stand by that.
You were standing in line, by the way, to talk to Santa Claus.
More troubling. Probably elbowing little kids out of the way.
My turn. My candy cane. You already got a candy cane. That was mine.
I can't believe I have to wait till Friday to buy the new Owl City album.
Oh,
I mean, again, we weren't talking about albums we wanted to buy or music
City,
or nothing.
What are you doing Friday?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
If I wasn't married, I'd have the greatest Taylor Swift podcast in the world.
Because his wife Donna has a strict no Taylor Swift podcast.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Is there a prenup? Does he lose money or something if he starts one?
Ralph is going to make your head explode. Guys. This just comes out of the blue again, so understand that. Guys, do you think we should be spending millions of dollars on American libraries?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Hey, that's your tax dollars at work, by the way. Just saying, most of what's in a library is on the internet by now.
Yesterday was International Citizens Band Radio Day.
Oh, son of a bitch.
No one said anything, so there was a pause.
Of course not. Who would say anything?
And then Bean said, because it was 10-4. No one said anything, and then... which is the international symbol for, is this on?
Right.
October 4th,
info, Bean.
10-4 is International CB Radio Day.
I just took a how much do you know about Pluto quiz on CNN? Allie.
What?
Really? How did you do?
Oh, Allie.
Right? The rule is you do not respond.
Allie, do not engage. Sorry.
Bean says, 7 out of 7. No one said anything. Bean said, it's kind of my thing.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Look, there are very few quizzes that I can nail.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Imagine if Santa Claus knew Pluto facts. It would be beyond the greatest day of his life.
And finally, when they say something is a 1,000-year flood, how do they know?
That was yesterday.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
So we're saying we
understand. What's your point?
We understand.
Bring it home for me.
We understand what you're
what
saying.
What are you trying to tell me?
But what you're saying is not interesting to any of us.
All right, noted.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Look, I know there seems to be no end to the plastic surgery that people will get to change every single aspect of their bodies. They get their ears done and their nose done and their chin done and their boobs done and their butt done and their ankles done. This is a new one to me. When I saw this in the New York Times over the weekend, I couldn't believe that there is such thing for reals as a beard transplant.
The story is about Jose Armos, who is a paramedic, and he would show up and people would say that he looked way too young. They were afraid to let this kid work on them, and he had just a weak beard. So he went to a plastic surgeon, and he had hair removed from his head and put on his chin. And this costs $7,000.
Wow.
There's a doctor quoted in the article who's in Miami. His name is Dr. Jeffrey Epstein. He says that he used to perform 4 or 5 facial hair transplants a year a decade ago. Now he says the average is 3 a week. So it is a hot trend. And you know, this is the thing. I mean, something gets hot and everybody goes out and does it, and then it's not going to be hot anymore, and then nobody will do it anymore. It's like fashion trends. It's almost impossible to keep up with what's in, what's current right now. It's like the man bun. For like 90 seconds, the man bun was considered acceptable. And then as a society, we moved on and we said no longer to the man bun.
I think
that's
the
over.
End of the man bun was the Donald Trump picture.
That pretty much could be right.
That's ruined it
so,
for everybody.
We wanted to find out more about the beard transplant and also just how it's possible for a person who's trying to live his life to keep up with all the trends, to be on the cutting edge of what's hip. So we asked Dave, who can you find us who knows all? And he has an expert for us, a designer and fashion expert named Emile La St. Croix, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Welcome, Mr. La St. Croix. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
I doubt it.
We appreciate you joining us. We understand you're very busy. You're working at the L.A. Fashion Week right now?
Yes, it's L.A. Fashion Week, and everyone here is fabulous.
And we are working very hard preparing to show the world all the new things for everyone to do and wear and see and be.
Okay. Well, as I was saying before we brought you on, sirs, it's just it's complicated for regular schmoes like us to know what's in and what's out.
Mm-hmm. I've seen your photographs. Yes, it is complicated for yeah. you, but not for me, because I am a trendsetter, and I'm also a fashion expert on all things that are hip and cool.
Okay, how about the beard transplant? We're a little surprised by this.
Yes, everyone must have beard this week. Everyone must have one. It is the hottest fashion accessory you grow from your face.
Well, you just said this week, so what about next week?
Clean shaven next week.
Okay. Clean shaven.
Okay. I'm looking at the schedule here. It's clean shaven next week.
Oh, you have a schedule, so you know trends how
and
far
then the
in advance.
Week after next, just the Hitler mustache is coming back. Believe it or not.
Wow, well, that is a surprise, actually.
I'm
okay.
surprised as well. It's too colorful.
I can't imagine that somebody's going out and spend $7,000 just so they can be hip for a week with their beard, though.
It's a lot of pressure. You have to be always on top of the fashion, or else you look like cargo shorts and T-shirts, man.
Yeah, what's that, right?
That's what we're wearing right now, actually. So
that makes me, if I had food in my stomach, I would vomit.
But you don't eat because eating is out, right?
No, eating is for fat people and Americans.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lasacroix, what else should we be aware of if we or our listeners would like to be hip and be trendy again?
In terms of your facial area.
Your face, right?
And all the fashionable things you're talking about with beards and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Eye piercing is very popular this week.
You mean like the eyebrow?
No, your eyeball.
Eye piercing?
Eyeball. Eyeball.
How could you pierce your eyeball?
Right? But it's so cool. You put a jeweled stud in your eye.
I don't think that's smart.
That sounds painful and dangerous.
Yes, both of those things are true. That's why it's so cool. And there's blindness, but it's more fun to pay for fashion. If you're a coward, just get one eye done. And then just look at the other one. But be fashionable. Be fabulous.
Now, is that just for a week as well? Because it doesn't seem like it's worth it.
No,
to
that'd be a whole
yourself.
Month.
I see. Okay.
That's, a commitment for fashion.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's make it up. Let's have Beer Mug try all these things. So let's get his eyes pierced.
Also, very popular now, surgery-wise, is having your scrotum filled with gallons of saline solution.
Why would you want that?
To intentionally make your testicles huge?
Oh, yes. Inflate.
Why?
Because all the fashions this week, you know, we're going from the skinny pants to now the pants with the fluffy crotch. The fluffy crotch is the new look everyone are having. You need to fill out the fluffy crotch with a big saline sack.
This seems like, again, dangerous and so much work. And why?
Because you want to slash when you walk. It's very fabulous.
Okay. I didn't realize that could be fabulous. Okay.
In fashion, of course, the most popular things are nippleless shirts. Shirts with the nipples cut out.
Okay.
So you're just exposing your nipples?
Expose your nippleage.
Okay.
Free the nipple.
Free the nipple.
I'm not positive that we can pull that off.
You can pull it
off.
Okay,
all right.
If you give a purple nurple, you can pull it almost right off. It hurts.
Now, is that for both sexes or just men or just women?
Just men. Who wants to see girl nipples?
You're
so ridiculous.
I thought finally there was a trend I could get behind here, but no.
Also very popular for men this week, throat belts.
Throat what?
Throat belts.
Belts? Belts.
Yes, yeah, it's a thin strap throat belt. You put it around your throat and you pull it tight.
That's okay. Just asphyxiation.
Sure, yeah, but it looks fabulous. Okay. And also very popular, now everyone is wearing them. I see them everywhere. Foot mittens.
Foot mittens?
Yeah.
Aren't those just socks?
It's like a piece of cloth you put over your foot before you put your shoe on.
Yeah,
that's a sock.
But again,
it's
just
fabulous, the new invention, the foot mitten.
Right, but it's a sock, though. They've been around for hundreds of years.
No, socks you can buy like a dozen for a nickel.
Right.
Foot mittens, you have to pay like $100 for a foot mitten.
But it does the same thing as a sock.
But it's made from llama. Made from llama. Oh, one of my suppliers now.
Oh.
That's Dolly. That's the Dolly Lama.
Don't do it.
Nope.
Hello, Dolly.
Man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed
people. People.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's find out. Let's get more. Why is Vanelli going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
talking
about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It was like 15 minutes with Kevin, really, more than a moment.
Well, that's our fault? Sometimes it takes us that long to untie the Gordian knot that is your sentences.
That is the jewel in the crown of Kevin Ryder's Hall of Fame career right there, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
I can't imagine the leaps in logic and the turns and the dark alleys that your thought process has to go down to get from one place to another.
Yeah. It's not the short way, if that's what you're asking.
Come on. It is. I don't think Waze would take us that route to get from Vanilla Ice to Screech.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I thought none of you got it, so I was trying to flesh out the story a little bit. I was like, stabbing people,
you know.
Hey, everybody, come on,
come on.
Right.
Dummies.
You're right.
Thinking about us.
Janky!
While we're talking about people stabbing people, Baywatch star Jeremy Jackson, he's in trouble. Accused of stabbing a woman. His second stabbing arrest this year, mind you. Jeremy played Hobie on Baywatch. Got into an argument in August with a woman near her home, and at some point he lost it and stabbed her in the back, arm, and leg, and then fled the scene, but cops picked him up later at a hotel. He's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon and criminal threats, both felonies, and they, according to TMZ, could lead up to 7 years in prison. He was also arrested in April for stabbing a man, but claims it was self-defense, and the DA apparently agreed he was never charged in that particular stabbing. But here's an idea. How about we take his knife away? How about that? How about Hobie doesn't get to carry a knife any longer?
How many people in this room have stabbed anyone ever?
How many people in this room are carrying a knife? Do you have a knife, Kevin?
No, I'm just kidding.
Why did he just look down?
He just had a big shame moment there for a second. He's like, oh, boy, I'm busted.
I'm just kidding. But
I got to protect myself against Vanilla Ice if I ever run up against him. If you're carrying a knife, you're going to get into trouble.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm in no way defending this guy.
Bean has a knife.
Here we go.
Bean's got a knife, and then
stabbing a football and hitting it out of the back of an end zone.
Let me ask. What I'm saying is it possible he wasn't carrying a knife? He was just in a restaurant or something when a fight broke out. He just grabbed one off a table.
But it's happened two times this year.
Well,
first of all, that's not what happened.
If that's not what happened, he shouldn't carry it.
The woman claims he was trying to jack her boyfriend's car. She was trying to stop him. He pulled his knife out and proceeded to stab her.
But was it in a restaurant?
No, it wasn't in a restaurant. It was outside a home by a car on a street. It wasn't at a steakhouse. It wasn't at the Sizzler.
But did he work at the Sizzler?
He didn't work at a
bring
Sizzler.
Bring the knives home to
no,
clean.
No, there were no
were they
thick
in a
knives
cutlery
to be cleaned.
Factory.
They were not in a cutlery factory. They weren't in a Bed Bath & Beyond in the cutlery section.
Was he sitting on the step of his house whittling, and then this woman walked up and confronted him?
First of all, no one has whittled since the late 1800s. Pony Express Bean. So there was no danger of that happening.
I just want to be sure. That's
because
all.
He's not Jed Clampett.
Right, so
no one was whittling.
I just think you're terrific.
Like the details, that's
all. If you have a knife on you, I think you're more apt to whip it out.
And then knife somebody.
And get in trouble. If you have no knife and you get angry, worst case scenario, you're going to punch somebody.
Right.
Yeah, true.
I'd rather be punched than stabbed. That's just me. I know I'm going on a limb, but what do I know? Congratulations to Brooklyn Decker and Andy Roddick. They welcomed their first child to the world last Wednesday in the Lone Star State. Bouncing baby boy was born in Austin, Texas. Mom and dad tied the knot back in 2009, of course. No word on what the boy's name will be, but Brooklyn Decker. You should call the baby Austin, right? The kid's born in Austin. Shouldn't he be Austin?
That's fine.
Let's keep a family trend of location
Nothing
names.
Nothing wrong with that.
What do you say?
Sure.
I hope they had a surrogate. Right? You don't want.
You're absolutely right.
You don't want to ruin Brooklyn Decker. Wow. Party, right? Yeah. You don't want to do that. Right?
God, is she hot? Look at that wreck.
She is hot. She's been sort of semi-retired since she's been involved with them. I don't remember seeing a lot of her lately. Tonight on Stephen Colbert, Bill Clinton's going to make an appearance. Boy, Colbert's sure doubling down on the political guests, isn't he?
That's yes, he is.
What his niche is. Hillary apparently will not be attending that same show.
Of course not. No. They're never in the same place.
Puts a cramp in Bill's dating. Right. How's he going to bring a date to the Colbert show if Hillary's hanging around? And while we're talking television, exciting times we live in, boys and girls. Flash! Season premieres tonight on the CW. I could not be more excited for the return of Barry Allen, the Scarlet Speedster. And tonight, boom, we meet Jay Garrick. Flash of Earth 2? Come on! Right?
These are all things that happen in the Flash.
Oh, Earth 2. We get introduced to Earth 2. Hello, is this thing on?
It is.
And that is significant, crossover
because it's another Flash in a parallel dimension.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay. Can they go back and forth?
Yes.
Like they did in Fringe?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Ralph, who is the lovely Danielle Pennebaker? Who does she play in Flash?
She plays Caitlin Snow, Dr. Snow on that show.
She's going to be on the program with us next Monday.
Oh, great. You're not familiar with the show at all, Bean? You don't know who she is?
It's not Bean's type of show.
She's on Barry's team. She's worked with Star Labs.
I saw a little bit of it.
Cisco keep him going.
Season one, it was... it's good. It's well done. It's not really my genre.
You son of a bitch.
Not really my genre.
I love it.
iZombie season premiere follows.
Love it.
New Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight as well.
Love it.
It's just a geek world. It's golden geek times. I was sitting in my car the other day at a stoplight, and I looked up. And they're across from each other, simultaneously, two billboards. One had Supergirl on it, and the other one had Flash on it. And I was like, I'm living in a comic book now. This is the greatest time of my life ever. If I could have told my eight-year-old Ralph, someday you'll grow up and Supergirl and Flash will be on television. There'll be billboards all over the city for them.
Hang on, buddy. It gets better.
That's right. No, it was fine then. It was just really good now.
You were getting beat up.
I wasn't getting beat up.
No, but I'm saying that your friends were beating you up.
I was like, Vanilla Ice. Stab people. They messed with me. Today's celebrity birthday is Jeremy Sisto. He's 41 years old today. Actor Ian Griffith celebrates his 42nd birthday. Amy Jo Johnson. She's 45. And actress Elizabeth Shue. Most recently on Blunt Talk. See her on Blunt Talk? Where she played sort of an Ann Coulter type who went on Walter Bunch's talk show and they ended up sleeping together.
I didn't see that one.
Very
yet, no.
Funny episode, and she was charming and lovely as always. 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Our friend Steve Aoki joins us next hour here on K-Rock. Listen to this, by the way. Listen to this. Hey, Allie, pay attention. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Crimson Peak tickets given away on the show today. That movie looks awesome. Festival Supreme tickets give you a chance to win those coming up. And... just announced on K-Rock, how about a pair of tickets to go see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl? Got tickets for that later this morning, too, all on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Stick around. Yesterday, we found out that Bean had an app that helps him keep updated with how many human beings are in space at any given moment. That's an app.
And your point is?
And Bean downloaded it and uses it because he wants to know at all times how many people are in space.
It's the People in Space app. I don't understand why you're bringing it up. Do you have questions about the People in Space app? For instance, do you want to know how many people are in space?
No. That's my point. I don't care.
Six.
Okay, right. Did you think that was going to wow me?
Does it tell you who and exactly where they are?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Aggressive.
American Scott Kelly has been in space for 193 days as of right now. The most recent man in space is Sergei Volkov. He is Russian. He has been in space for 34 days.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
He's a flight engineer with the International Space Station. He is married. They have one son, Igor. His hobbies include sports, tennis, windsurfing, reading, and museums.
All of this on that app?
On the app, yes.
Wow.
So what's your point, Kevin?
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
My point is that we should talk about apps that you use that are ridiculous.
That's not a ridiculous app. That's a very useful app.
Right, that's what I meant. The most useful apps that you have.
Tell me an easier way. Seriously, tell me an easier way to find out
how many people are in space.
You're missing the point that I don't care how many people are in space. So there doesn't need to be an easier or a more difficult app to tell that.
You don't get it, man.
It could be 100. It could be 0.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the beautiful age that we live in, the age of the internet, which I've said many times in this program, I believe is the greatest invention of the 20th century. I really do sincerely believe that. And the way it has improved our lives, the way it has changed the world, is that there's a website for everything and there's an app for everything because it can be specialized, because there can be a million apps, but you can have the 40 that you like on your phone. It's the greatest personalization in entertainment history.
Don't be so boring.
So I know that there are going to be people out there who have an app that they love, that they use, but that most people don't know about. And this would be a great opportunity for you to share it with us at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Or you can text the Kevin and Bean Show, as always, at the number 2-K-Rock 25767. Share with us what's the cool app that you have that we need to know about.
What if it's not cool? What if I love it, but it's not cool, it's stupid?
But you love it, so that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, yeah. It's the app that you use and you enjoy that others may not know about. I mean, so far we've only named one app, and it's awesome, and it's
right.
People in space.
Like My Talking Pet. You take a picture of your pet, and then you line up their eyes and their mouth. You make a sound or a whole sentence. Maybe you sing happy birthday. All of a sudden, your dog singing happy birthday. That's fantastic.
That's not bad, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Now, this is...
I was surprised. I was ready to discount you, but...
Oh, no.
Your pet can sing?
Yeah, My Talking Pet. It's phenomenal.
Now, I don't need that at all, but I'm happy that it exists and that others who enjoy it can use it.
Sure.
I'm not hating on somebody else's app because I don't use it, Kevin.
No, I'm saying yours is dumb. I'm saying...
But Talking Pets is not?
No, Talking Pets is pretty sweet.
I'll send you one of a
yes,
dog
please.
Singing happy birthday. It's fantastic.
I'm not sure I did.
Do you guys remember when we were interviewing, I think it was Kevin Bacon,
and
about a mustache?
Yeah.
And he said that he used an app. I went and got that app. I've put so many.
Stashtastic.
Stashtastic.
Yes.
You have it?
I got it because you got it and yours looks so good.
Wait, what do you do with Stashtastic? So you take a picture of yourself, Bean, and then you put like a goatee on, or you can put a full beard. I have picture after picture on my phone.
And you would text it to me. I'm like, I need this.
Because it's awesome. It has like a Hulk Hogan mustache. I think it even has a Hitler mustache. I don't know. It just has different facial hair that you can put on yourself.
Yeah.
So it's
and
kind
it's
of
fantastic.
Like, it's kind of like, just... fun with Photoshop, basically.
Pretty much. Except for it's super easy to use because you just pick which beard you want and then you just put it in place.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet.
All right.
Way better than how many people are in space.
How dare you. Chip, you got one?
No.
Well, you're no fun.
You're no fun indeed. Allie, you got another one?
I love...
Allie has a lot, by the way.
Well, no. This one I think everyone should have. T-0, because you just put in what specific day you're looking forward to. Maybe it's your vacation. Maybe it's your kid's birthday.
Oh, I see.
I, of course, have Christmas. So we are 79 days, 16 hours, 48 minutes, and 34 seconds away from the big day. Yay, Christmas.
I respect that app so much.
Yeah. Good.
I love that. I have a Christmas countdown clock on my desktop, too, so I'm with
sure you.
All right.
Don't you guys know that basically it's early October?
Don't you want it down to the second?
No.
Oh.
I don't even need it down to the day. You know what it is? December 25th.
I want to know in January how far away we are from Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a few calls. 1-800-520-1067. Phones are blowing up on this. We're looking for your unusual apps that you want to share with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Brendan in Simi Valley. He's online too. I'm not even sure I understand what his app is all about.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you. What's the weird app that you have?
All right. I play this Japanese game called Niko Atsumi. It's basically a crazy cat lady simulator. You put out food, and neighborhood cats will come visit you and play with the toys you put out for them and dress up in costumes.
Okay. To me,
you've been topped.
That's a whole nother category, though, of games. I mean, that's just a game. It's just a game like you would be playing a game on your, on your computer or on your system at home or something like that. I mean, games are games. If that's a fun game, that's fine. To me, that's not even an unusual app. What do you guys think? It's just a game.
It's a crazy cat lady game.
But that's like saying Angry Birds is a crazy app. It's not. It's just a game. You know what I mean?
All right, so are we eliminating games? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I don't think games is what we're talking about.
They show up. They're dressed up in little costumes. You can take pictures, and all of their butts have little X's on them.
Look, you enjoy it, Brendan. That's what I'm saying to you.
I'm sorry, all of their butts what?
Have little X's on them? I don't know. It's adorable.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan.
Sounds adorable.
Let's go to Danielle, Long Beach on line four. Now, this is the kind of app that I can honestly say I would never have known existed if it hadn't been for this call. Danielle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi there.
So the app is the Period Tracker app. And what happens is
I'm afraid of that. Is that a countdown? to the second?
It is. But it's got bells and whistles, like you can keep track of your flow and if you're spotting, and when it's coming back, it alerts you just so you don't have, like, you
Please
know.
Please stop talking.
Well, that's actually very handy, though, because when you go for your lady appointment, first
you
thing
too,
they
lady.
Ask is when was the first day of your last period. You can just look on this app. That's smart.
Exactly right.
What are you, eight, Bean? The girls have cooties?
Oh, stop talking about lady stuff, how babies are born and stuff. Shut up, Bean.
Danielle, I reject you totally, but please enjoy. I hope you have a wonderful menstrual flow. 1-800-520- I never thought I'd say that sentence, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. What's the awesome app you want to share with the world? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Kevin was surprised to find out that I have an app on my phone that I use about once a week called People in Space, where it tells you how many people are out of Earth's orbit. And who they are and what they're doing up there. And I love the app, and it kind of got us on the conversation of other apps that people have that maybe we don't know about, because there's so many. There's no way to keep track of all of them. Listen to this, by the way. This one is texted into the number 2 KROQ from the 626. I use an app that tracks great white sharks. It's called Expedition White Shark. It's a pretty cool app.
Interesting.
How would you?
I don't know how they would do that.
Here's another one from the 323. I use an app called Flight Radar 24. It lets me see what aircraft is flying above me. So when a plane, you're out in the street and the plane goes by, you can look at your app and find out which plane it is.
Where yeah, it's isn't from, that where, how they found out the poop that fell from that plane?
Oh,
they
is
did,
it?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
They used the flight tracker.
All right, let's get some more calls here.
That
we got a lot
be
of good
poop
ones.
Tracker.
It really
that's what that should be.
Let's try. Where do you want to start here, Kevin? We got a bunch of good ones on the
Man, line. Oh man. Let's see. I don't know. There's so many weird ones. All right, let's do Linda, who's calling us from Pomona. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. What app do you use?
It's called Shopkick, and basically it's an app that gives you points for walking into any store that's popular, CVS, Rite Aid, JCPenney's, Macy's. And basically all it does is it accumulates how many steps you get in that store, uh-huh. and then it gives you gift cards for if you reach a certain amount of steps, and you do absolutely nothing.
Right. How many steps does it take for the smallest gift card?
It takes about 1,000 steps for a $5 gift card to Starbucks.
And so, but do you have to be in Starbucks for that long, or just any store?
No, any store.
How about
any
that?
Store.
What's
this
that called?
Target. It's called Shopkick, and okay. this is I run a fan page on Facebook called Coupon for a Cause.
Right.
And this has been the most popular app that we've been able to get out of. You know, everybody's pretty excited about it because right now I have over 20,000 steps, and it took me about a month to do. And I'm saving up for the whole year, and then I just get gift cards and I get them out for Christmas and I give them out to people. It's
Look at that.
Really super easy.
Wow. So Linda just walking around for hours inside of Walgreens. I got to get more steps.
The bad news is she weighs 79 pounds. The good news is she's got $28 in gift cards. All right. Linda, we got to go. We got more calls, but thank you very much. It's called Shopkick. We'll definitely check that one out. Let's go to Julian LaPuente, please, line 5, talking about the unusual apps on your phone. By the way, actor Malcolm Goodwin from iZombie is going to be joining us, coming in about 10 minutes or so. Stick around for that. What's going on, Julian?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I want to let you guys know of a really cool app that's out there helping out in college for intermediate math, given it works for a lot of different kind of math. But one of the best apps that I think that's out there is called Mathway.
Mathway?
Mathway. Okay.
Now, what kind of math would most people encounter in their day-to-day life where they would use something like this, something that would go beyond needing, like, a calculator?
Normally, so, for example, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, different math like that is something that, you know, you would occasionally use out in school. So this app is actually really, really awesome because you, I mean, you pay for the premium version, which costs you about, you know, maybe $20 per month.
What?
$20 a month? Kevin, you know, for all the time, you need algebra and trigonometry.
Never.
Ever.
Wait, you mean $20 for a year?
No. I mean, there's you can pay for the year. Your subscription is about $60. It's around there. Your subscription is about $60, but it beats retaking the math class over and over again where you're spending like $400 a math.
You are using math a lot more than we are. I don't think any of our dumb listeners need a trigonometry app.
But $20 a month.
Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Maureen. She's in Whittier. She's on line 4. She's got another useful app, I think, maybe.
Hi, Maureen.
All right, so the other day I told my mom that a random number from Philadelphia was calling and another from Hollywood. And later that day she told me to download an app called Truecaller and to follow the instructions. So pretty much I copied and pasted the numbers and it automatically alerted me saying it was spam. And it saved in my phone as spam. So, like, if they ever called again, I would know for sure never to answer.
Huh.
How hip is your mom?
Huh. So, in other words, a telemarketer calls you once, you'll never make the mistake of picking up the phone again after that time.
Exactly. As long as you, like, copy and then paste it into the app, people alert it. You know, if enough people mark it as spam, then it'll just mark it in your phone as spam.
I got to follow up on Allie's question. How hip is your mom? Yeah. Because if my mom turned me onto an app, I would go, I'm not paying attention. Because she should not know more about this than I do.
My mom's 39. I don't know if that's an old age yet.
No, not for a mom.
She's very happening. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Maureen. Appreciate that. Let's go to Pam Costa Mesa up next, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Pam.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
So my app is called Sit or Squat. It rates the public bathrooms in the area as to whether you need to stand or if you can actually sit down.
Wow. So basically, you turn on the location thing and then it can tell where the restrooms are around you?
Exactly, and other people, other users rate based on their experience.
You know, it's so interesting. What's your app called again, Pam?
Sit or Squat.
Sit or Squat, because we heard from Tony. He texted us at 323. There's an app called Places I've Pooped, he says, that he cannot live without. Same kind of thing. You kind of share information back and forth about public restrooms. See, that's good information.
That's a little weird, though.
Yeah, Pam, like, it is.
Places I've Pooped is weird, but Sit or Squat isn't?
Well, Sit or Squat is doing a public service. Yes, nobody cares where you pooped.
It's a health issue. By the way, yesterday we were starting to talk about this topic. We did look for poop apps, and there are way too many. And you don't want to know about any of them. You're going to have to trust me.
Thank you very much for the call, my dear. Let's talk to Richard, our final call in Los Angeles, line 7. This may be the geekiest of all the apps we've heard about today. Hey, Richard.
Hello there, Kevin and Bean.
Hi. Which app do you use?
It's called Tricorder. It's just from Star Trek. It's a simulator of a tricorder on your phone. And it really doesn't do anything other than... it does have a map button you could push. It will show your location.
Okay.
But it just makes all the lights and sounds of a tricorder, and it'll say, no intelligent life found on this planet.
Richard is tickled by this.
I do like that he's laughing at that still.
Well, it sounds very useful, and sometimes I believe it may be accurate. That might actually be true about Earth these days.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Richard.
All right. All right. Big night on the CW tonight. We're just talking about it with Ralph. The Flash at 8, and then our favorite show, iZombie, returns at 9. Give me a little bit about iZombie. Get me in the mood here, Kevin.
Zombies living among us.
I'm on frat boy brains. Everything's being filtered through the bro zone.
I can assure you it isn't funny. Don't tell me you've actually developed a taste for brains.
Turn your hat around, punk. Show some respect.
You do all these paint-by-numbers?
Found them at a gallery.
Were they in the garbage? What I wouldn't give for a piece of your brain right now.
Right. Actor Malcolm Goodwin is on the line from iZombie. He plays the most clueless police officer in primetime television today, Clive Babineau. Hey, Malcolm, how are you, man?
You guys doing? That's a great description.
How dense is your police officer, Clive Babineau, though, sir? How clueless is this guy to never know what's going on?
Well, you know, he's a little bit more tunnel vision than clueless, but he has no idea. Yeah, he just has no idea that a girl who dresses goth and emo-like could be a zombie, you know. I always say Clive watches like The Walking Dead, so he thinks zombies are like Walking Dead zombies, not like obviously iZombies. I mean, zombies in our show.
High functioning, yeah. Really.
Yeah, that's fair.
So your character, the police officer, thinks that Liv is a psychic. She helps you solve crime.
Yeah, he believes she is a psychic. You know, there's a few of her visions and her psychic visions that came to fruition, and he runs with it. You know, he's one of those guys who just got his eye on the prize. You know, whatever
that's
it takes to solve the case. And he goes, even if it means, you know, having these psychic visions and taking all these different personas and personalities, he goes, oh, well, it gets the job done. He runs with it. Yeah.
We love this show sincerely. I know you'll talk to a lot of people who may pretend to know and watch the show. We have loved this show from minute one. We were so excited to have you on. We had Rose on. We had David on from the show. We had Rob Thomas, your creator, on. And I'm curious, I have to ask you, Malcolm, because you shot all of these episodes before they aired last year. So you had no idea what the response was going to be. What was it like for you week to week to see how well received this show was and how popular it got?
And you know what? It was funny. Right before the show, you know, we would get on Twitter and read some of the responses before the show aired, and people would be like, "This show sounds like the craziest, most ridiculous show in the world. Who would watch this?" And we would sit there and read some of the mean tweets out loud. And then once the show came on and people bought into it, those same people were like, wait a minute, this is actually a good show. You know, this is actually, this concept actually worked. This is fun. And week to week, people just, you know, bought into it and bought into the concept and enjoyed it. And so far the response is, you know, it's been incredible. And because of that response, you know, we're coming back for season two.
Yeah, and it's such a fine line to walk because it is, I mean, there are actual genuine moments of real tension, but it also is lighthearted and funny. I mean, I know a lot of that is in the writing, but a lot of it is in the way you guys play it, too. It must be a tough line for you to walk as an actor.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it is grounded in, you know, our reality. You know, like we do make references to Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, and you know, so many pop culture references right now, you know, so it's I always say Clive represents the people in the real world who this really could be happening in our world right now, but obviously we would have no ideas that anybody with pale skin and with platinum blonde hair, you know, would be zombies amongst us. So yeah, it's been fun, and like I said, it's the writing. It's really, you know, I give all credit to Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero Wright for just giving us great in the writing staff for giving us just great material to work with, week in and week out. And a lot of people think a lot of that writing is improv. You must have improv that. I'm like, no. I mean, their writing is better than anything we can ever improv. So. You know, we stick to the script. We really, really stick to the script.
I got
to
tell you, even more impressive is that they wrote that, and the show, even episode one, was really good. It's not like the show had to sort of flounder around and find its voice. It hit the ground running.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was one of those things. You know, I remember auditioning for the show, and you know, I think when everyone hears the concept, you know, it does sound, you know, out there. It sounds a little wild, and it's not until you see the show, or you know, I know for me, when I first read the script, you know, I was blown away by it. I was like, wow, it was funny and it was interesting, and you know, it was really, really heartfelt, which is what you know Rob Thomas, you know, shows are so good for. And outside of being funny and interesting, but it was also, when you know, intense, and you really, really cared for, you know, our heroine.
This is Malcolm Goodwin on the phone, by the way. He's talking about the show iZombie, returning to the CW tonight at 9 o'clock. Last question for me, Malcolm, and that is, there are going to be a lot of people we hope are going to tune in for the premiere of Season 2. Maybe they missed it last year. It seems like there's a lot to catch up on. What's the primer that you think people need to know before they sit down and watch it for the first time tonight?
Well, I think we left on a couple of cliffhangers. In the finale last season, Liv's brother, he gets injured, you know, really, really badly in this meat cute, this explosion at this meat cute where our bad guy, that's where he worked. And, you know, one of our characters went ham and killed all the zombies, you know, in that particular, charcuterie. And it left with her making a decision on whether or not she would say, my brother needs a blood transfusion. So it left on her, us wondering if she would save her brother or not. And so that's one of the main things, you know. In the last episode, she said no, you know, and he's in desperate need or he's going to die. So you get to see whether or not she makes that decision or not tonight.
Yeah, how do you break it to your parents, you know, hey, I can't give my brother blood because I'm already dead? I mean, that's a tough conversation to have.
It's real hard.
Mom, Dad, I have good news and bad news.
Good news and bad news. All right. Very excited for the return of iZombie again tonight at 9 on the CW After the Flash. Malcolm Goodwin, so glad we had you on. Very nice to meet you. Congratulations on the show. Continued success, sir.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
It is 7:53.
How was there so much cheating involved in Monday Night Football last night and the Patriots weren't even there? That's the question we all have to ask.
No, deflector. Nope. You can't do that now.
Coming up right after 8 o'clock, plus our friend Steve Aoki stops by. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning with Ralph Garman.
I sent Ali a tweet last night. I was watching the game. Say, well, now at least, the good news for you is Bean won't be able to mock your cheating team anymore. He'll be too busy defending his own. The Seattle Cheat Hawks.
Dude, they didn't know, man.
They knew.
Oh, they knew.
Who? What are you basing that on?
Doesn't fall on the ball in the end zone? Who doesn't do that?
The guy who didn't fall on the ball last night, who said he was afraid that he was going to lose it, that somehow Detroit was going to end up with it, so he figured it would be safer to knock it out of the end zone. He didn't know it was illegal, though.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he was wrong. And the refs were wrong to not call it. It was a mistake. There's no question about that, but I don't think it was on purpose.
Rules don't apply to Seattle. Yeah. We know that from last year.
Monday night.
I intercepted the ball. No, you didn't. We're just going to give it to him in the end zone now. Oh, okay. Hey, I'm going to knock it out of the back of the end zone. That's a penalty, right? Yeah, but don't worry about it. You're Seattle Cheathawks. We don't mind.
All right, we're going to discuss this coming up in the next segment here, Ralph. But let's give you back some of your time.
I just hope you're happy. If you're cheating, I hope you can live with yourself.
I like this.
I'm sure you do.
It's fun when it's somebody else, isn't it, Ellie?
It is.
Hitler's motorcycle. Saw them last night at the Cougar.
It's true. That's a good show.
They were amazing. Would you be upset if your significant other bought Hitler's motorcycle?
Probably. Look, there's a lot of memorabilia out there that has bad vibrations attached to it, but I think it's okay.
I would.
I think it's all right. I mean, I got a John Wayne Gacy painting hanging in my house, so maybe I'm not the right guy to
Bean's
ask.
Not the right guy to ask for
this. True.
Where does the money go?
To
Hitler?
Old Nazi's home down in Argentina. I don't know, but apparently Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie having a bit of a discrepancy. Brad Pitt is a huge motorcycle buff and also has a soft spot for World War II memorabilia, and apparently he bought one of 500 motorbikes approved by Adolf Hitler.
Wait, approved?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't ride it? It wasn't
his? He gave it the Hitler stamp of approval.
Hmm.
That's right. And it would cost him $385,000 for this collectible. And apparently Angelina Jolie not happy that he splurged on the Hitler bike, the Adolf
cycle. All right, I have a serious question, Ralph, and you tell me if this is different. Isn't every Volkswagen Beetle...
Yeah.
Hitler's seal of approval? I mean, that was the Nazi car that he commissioned and approved. Right?
I don't think he's still standing on the line as they roll off, though, giving them the blessing. These motorbikes were used in the 40s in World War II under his supervision. I don't think you can really blame Hitler for 70 years later when the Beetle or the Scirocco is coming off the conveyor belt. It's a little different. Okay. A little removed.
Right. Yeah, that would be weird. That's a weird thing to... One.
Anyway, she's upset, and she made both of them sat down with their six kids and talked about how bad Nazis were and don't be a Nazi, I guess.
See, teachable moment.
It is a teachable moment.
Way to go, Brad.
That's good. Nazis were bad, but they had bitchin' motorcycles. It's pretty much the moral of the story.
And by the way, for people listening to the show today, don't be a Nazi.
Good tip.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bean.
Good tip.
The more you know.
Right.
Bum, 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 bum. Christy Brinkley and John Mellencamp are a hot and heavy item, apparently.
I don't like it.
What do you mean you don't like
How
it?
How do you have any opinion
What's
on
to
that?
Like or not like? It's just an interesting tidbit.
This John, he was with Meg Ryan for a long time, too.
Right?
He just seems cranky and
he's with Lane Irwin before that. Stunning model and Lane Irwin.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Isn't it?
Well, you know how it is with celebrities. You have an opinion on whether you think they're a good couple or not. And I know that it's irrelevant what the fans think.
What's
but
wrong
I just,
with Johnny Cougar Mellencamp? He's just like a good guy.
Like I said, he just seems cranky and smelly. Like, I don't want him
he's not
screwed
smelly.
Up Christie Brinkley. Seems like he would be.
He created Farm Aid. He's helping farmers. He seems like a good guy.
Seems
lives
like
in that little
guy.
Pink house.
I don't think he literally lives in a little
he's
pink house.
He's ROCKing in the USA.
I believe
he wrote
that.
Those songs.
He's got his friends, Jack and Diane. They seem like nice people.
Again, songs.
Seems like
think
a good guy.
Real life.
He has Christie Brinkley feelings.
Apparently. Yes, Christie Brinkley feelings, yes.
Explore.
And Brinks, she likes the rock stars, apparently. Went from Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah. So lucky.
To this one?
Yeah.
Billy Joel, so lucky?
She's lucky to be with Billy. You know my Billy Joel feelings.
I didn't know about those.
Oh, you didn't?
She has Billy Joel
Oh,
feelings.
Yeah. Top five list of men.
Oh, my Lord. You have really? The weirdest
yeah.
taste.
Wait. What?
Look, yeah. I'm a fan like a turtle. Music, but he looks like he lives under a bridge and makes you answer three questions
Innocent
before you
man.
Can cross.
Look at that album cover. Oof. Billy.
So it's not the singing, it's not the...
Oh, it is the singing, absolutely. Okay. I flew to New York City to see him last July.
You're saying
I
that like we should be
him.
Embarrassed. We're not.
He's great. Anyway, back to you.
If he was missing and you used that album cover you're talking about, though, as the wanted poster, they would never find him. So I think, as of how you feel right now, maybe you're a little off base.
You got a problem, lady.
You do have a problem, lady.
Is it time, Ralph, once again for the phone topic of the celebrity that you are very attracted to that nobody else thinks is good?
I think it may be because
I think Billy
we could
Joel
just do an hour with Allie.
Yeah.
Holy crap,
Billy Joel.
Who was the comedian? The puffy
Jim
white
Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan. Yeah,
babe.
Jim Gaffigan.
You have
Billy
a type.
Joel. What the hell? He's like, guys, you want to take a nap on. You don't have sex with them. You want to curl up and just rest your head on their bellies.
Hey,
are
you just
tired? Are you just looking to lay down?
She's only attracted to guys who got picked last in gym class.
But then I've got Liam Neeson and I've got Colin Firth. So it balances out. I'm very versatile.
Colin Firth is a weird choice for her.
Really?
For hot.
Yeah, for hot. He's the guy you want to be your butler, but
right.
I don't know if you
want
to have him in the bedroom.
But- What? Let's move on. Christie Brinkley.
Wow.
She's pretty.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Yeah, it's on, unfortunately. Jeremy Sisto, very talented actor, 41 years old today. Yon Griffith celebrates his 42nd birthday. You know him as Mr. Fantastic from the OG Fantastic Four movies. And, of course, he was in Forever. We played that guy, Live Forever. And then the series was canceled. It's not really Forever.
Not Forever at all.
They should just call that series For a While. Amy Jo Johnson, you know her from Felicity, and of course she was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, 45 years old. And actress Elizabeth Shue. Oh, Shue. Right? We all have a thing for the Shuster.
She was in that robot movie, right, Ralph?
That
was that her?
Robot movie.
Short Circuit?
Short Circuit?
No, that was Ally Sheedy.
Yeah.
Oh, different person.
I like to give her the shoehorn. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? The shoehorn?
I don't know what that is.
That's the tool you use to get yourself inside your shoe. It's a shoehorn.
Right.
And I'm also making a euphemistic reference to my penis.
She have problems with her shoes?
Our
friend Brad Williams joins us tomorrow morning in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, very fine actor Luis Guzman is going to be here as well from the new Code Black series. Brian Deegan is going to be on the program tomorrow. We're talking to the champ, Daniel Cormier. Return visit on the program tomorrow. You know, we just had him in last week ahead of him defending his UFC light heavyweight title over the weekend. Tomorrow, we get to talk to him again if his face has healed up.
That was a crazy battle.
Unreal.
If he could talk, if he could see again, if his eyes have unhealed. So we'll find out. That's all coming up on K-Rock, but first... Last night, Monday Night Football, once again, it's in Seattle, and once again, there is controversy. You know, it was a couple of years ago, the fail Mary, the blown call against the Green Bay Packers, it ticked off a lot of people. Well,
right.
It happened again last night. Here's the play-by-play of the final. I think we're less than 2 minutes from the end of the game. Detroit has marched, I don't know, 90 yards down the field or something like that, and they're about to take the lead for the first time.
Stafford complete. Calvin Johnson to the end zone, fumbles it, and it goes out of bounds. It'll be a touchback. If he didn't break the play. and it's ruled a touchback.
So this is about a foot from the touchdown, from the goal line, and Calvin Johnson is holding the ball, and he's trying to get into the end zone, and Cam Chancellor comes out of nowhere and just knocks it down, and it goes off and gets hit by another Seahawk player and leaves the field of play, and the ref comes on and explains what we've just seen.
Ruling on the field is a runner fumbled the ball prior to the goal line. It went out of the end zone. It is a touchback. Seattle's ball, first down.
And it's going to be that. Ball is hit coming out beforehand as he's fighting for the extra. What a punch by Cam Chancellor to knock it out of the back of the end zone.
So Seattle gets the ball, and they run out the clock, and they win the game. And we all go home, and everybody's happy.
Wah,
wah. Oh, wait. It turns out that K.J. Wright, the Seattle linebacker, batted the ball out of the back of the end zone, and that turns out to be against the rules in the NFL. There was a referee standing 10 feet away who saw it and didn't realize that that was an illegal move, so didn't call it. Therefore, the game ends. The Seahawks win. The Lions are sad. What the hell
happened?
Seems
like there's a lot of cheating going on in Patriot country and in Seahawk country.
Why do you even bring Patriots into the conversation? Let's stick with the cheating Seattle Seahawks cheaters.
I do feel like if the Patriots had done the exact same thing, they would have done it on purpose. I feel like the Seahawks
right, of course. No, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Right?
Do you think they knew? Look, the ref didn't know. Mike Tirico didn't know. John Gruden didn't know. The guys who were calling the game for ESPN didn't know. None of the NFL refs back in New York raised a red flag. Nobody knew that this was a rule in the NFL. That seems like it's a problem. But it was a bad way to – it was a terrible game anyway. The Seahawks looked bad. They deserved to lose. They did get away with one. But we want to talk to the man who is at the center of this controversy. His name is Greg Wilson. He was the back judge. He was the man who was 10 feet away from this controversial play and did not call it. Greg, we know you're taking a lot of heat from last night and this morning, so we very much appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today, sir.
Yeah, how you doing?
We're good.
Good.
Well – we're doing fine. Can you tell us, sir, because I haven't heard directly from you, what you saw with your own eyes?
Yeah, I saw a big guy hit the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With his hand, right? He did it on purpose.
He sure did. He knocked it out on purpose.
Yeah. So that's an illegal bat.
Yeah, first.
Why didn't you call it?
I have no idea.
Wait, you knew it was a penalty, though?
Well, I didn't really know. Oh. I didn't know what was going on, really. I'm not paying a lot of attention, really.
But isn't that your job as a ref?
That's what the NFL said to me. So now I'm watching a lot of football trying to learn all the rules.
Well, I would think that you should know all those rules in order to be a ref in an NFL game.
Yep.
Do you feel bad because that may have changed which team won, which is a very important thing?
Yeah, I understand that some people may not be happy about it, but... it's just a game, fellas.
Well, it's actually, it's people's livelihoods here.
Well, yeah.
But if the
Detroit Lions had made the touchdown and gotten the 8 points, then they could have gone for the extra field goal and get another 7.
None of those numbers are accurate. That's not how it works at all.
You don't get 8 for a touchdown.
Oh,
you get 6.
Okay.
Again, I feel like you're the guy who should be telling us how the game was played, not the other way around.
Look, when you have every 15 yards, there's a first down, and then you get 5 more chances to try to get another 8
it's
yards.
10 no. And it's 4. Yeah.
10 and 4 downs, and then another
10. 10 and 4
10.
Is 14. That doesn't even add up.
Greg, what kind of training did you go through to be a ref?
I took a correspondence course.
Online?
No, through the mail.
Oh.
And my mailman is not dependable.
Right.
So I got about every other chapter.
Mm. Oh, I see. So maybe you missed this rule.
Here's what I know. You flip a coin, and then the person who calls the proper side of the coin gets to pick which one they want to do.
This doesn't sound good.
They get to pick which end zone or receive or kick off.
Yeah, that's what I just said. They get to pick what they want to do.
Right.
What they want to do. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I'm learning a lot here today. Okay. I'm watching these things. Did you know that you have to wear a helmet?
Yes.
Well, the rule.
Of course you do. That's why everybody's wearing a helmet.
I thought it was optional. I thought it was a fashion thing, but no, they have to wear it. And here's the other thing. You can't kick a guy in the nards.
Right.
That seems like a good rule. I'm glad they have that one.
Yeah. Okay. So you're just going through the book and just checking which rules you agree with? Is that where we're at now?
No, I'm just surprised by learning some of them. There's some of the real good rules in this book.
I would have thought you would have known all of these. Maybe some type of test before you became a ref.
That's an idea. They should probably do some more rigorous sort of screening.
Sounds like it.
But I'm looking forward to getting back to work. Okay. And I'm looking forward to investing all the money from this check I got from Pete Carroll.
I'm sorry, what?
I knew it.
Big check I got from Pete Carroll.
You said that out loud. You know that, right, Greg?
I'm not familiar who this man is, but he sent me a very nice check, and I think that was very nice of him. So if some people are supporting my work.
He's the coach of the Seahawks.
Oh, I think I would be aware of that, little lady.
Well, he is.
Pete Carroll's the coach of the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's going to be problematic. I got to call my buddy Bill Belichick and see what to do about this.
The votes have been counted, and it is official. DJ Times Magazine and Pioneer DJ are proud to announce that Steve Aoki has been voted America's Best DJ for 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, he joins us. It's Steve on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Steve. All right. Thanks, Kevin. We got it. That's fine.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. Big music, big announcement. We got it.
We got it.
What?
Turn it down a little.
Oh, too loud?
Hey, Steve, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys?
Is this a big deal, or is this a bogus award like a People's Choice?
No, it's cool. Of course, it's cool. You know, I'm honored to be. I'm kind of like floored that I made it to the top, because there's so many more better DJs out there. In my opinion, like
Skrillex. Who's better than you?
Diplo, Skrillex, you know.
Diplo came in third place. Skrillex came in fourth place. Cascade was in second place.
Obviously. I mean, there's a lot, you know. And you think about your friends that are doing amazing things. You just think that they're always doing better things, you know. So, and like the cool thing about the DJ world is that there's no cliques and things like that, where people kind of stay away from each other. It doesn't really happen with the DJs. Everyone gets along. Everyone's friends. It doesn't matter if you're dubstep or trap or trance or EDM or, you know, whatever. It's like we all end up saying hi at festivals and are pretty friendly.
It does seem like nobody puts out a song unless there are seven people included on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In connection with.
A lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah, a lot of that. And
a lot of
cool.
Collaborations. Yeah.
And can you have imagined, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, if somebody would have said to Steve Aoki, hey, there in 2015, there's going to be a dozen superstars who are going to be able to fill up any venue in the world, you would not have even believed the growth of what you guys do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're lucky in a position where now we can. I mean, I've been touring at a very fast pace, and
you think
for a while,
for
but
it was like eight shows a day, and it's impossible,
and they all have to be on different continents, so he doesn't agree to it. But I like to keep filling it up, and I'm still just surprised that, you know, we could still do that and play even more places that we've never been to, and there's just so many different parts of the world that are fiending for this kind of music, and you really see it when you're playing these shows and you look at the fans' faces when you're playing their favorite song.
I feel like last time you were here, you were saying you were going to take a little break, get some surgery on your throat or something.
Yeah.
Did any of that happen?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I believe you.
No, Steve took 25 minutes off that.
Oh, got it.
And then he was back to it. Now he's fine.
You know what? I learned meditation properly, because I had to do like 3 weeks of vocal rest. Mm-hmm. And I picked up the PlayStation. I bought a PlayStation because I like, you know, you had to do the video game hiatus when you're in album mode, or else you're going to have your distraction.
Sure.
So I finally had some real downtime.
Steve, I'm fascinated in meditation because there are a lot of people who I admire who swear by it. I have a couple of friends who are really, really into it. You know, famous people like David Lynch always talk about it. But I always feel like it's the type of thing that it would be hard for a new person to get into and take seriously, because it just – don't you feel dumb when you start meditating? Like, oh, this is nothing, or this isn't going to work. Like, how do you get past that and actually start to reap the benefits of it?
Yeah. It's definitely that first kind of confused gray area when you're sitting there going, what do I think of?
And but you're supposed to think of nothing, right?
Yeah, because at the same time, you're like, especially in the morning, you're like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to call this person. I got to do this. There's like a million things that you have to do, but you just got to let it all slide away. And then eventually you find this space where you're just like, you know, you find, it's like, I don't know, you can call it peace or whatever you want to call it, but you find the center and you come out of it with more energy. If the more you do it, the more you can able to find it faster. And I do it all the time now. I do it before my shows. I do before I go to sleep.
Was it more difficult for you because of your crazy schedule and the things you have to do and all of that calendar stuff? Your schedule is worse than most people.
Yeah. It is. It was difficult in the beginning. And I think that's why I needed a complete reset and having this vocal rest. It needed that to happen for mm-hmm. me to actually sit down. And I read this book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And that, you know, that was the best, like the really good preface into this, you know, meditative state that I needed to be in. And then I wrote a song called Power of Now. So I was really inspired by that book and I was inspired by being in that state. And I think it's really important for people that are busy like myself to find energy in your, you know, in meditating instead of in, you know, what I'm drinking right now. You know, like coffee and, you know, what could be worse, you know, so.
Kevin, have you ever tried meditation?
At times.
I feel like you clear your mind a lot.
Well, there's nothing there, really.
Yeah. So,
and what was the stumbling block for you? How did you not enjoy it or continue?
I don't know. I feel like at some point, you know, a couple of minutes in, you go, what am I doing? This isn't helping me. I guess I don't have the discipline to keep trying it until.
You know what you could do that will really help is
weed?
Group meditation.
Group meditation.
Because, like, you're going to be sitting there with your friend
right.
or your wife or your what, you know, whoever. And you can have a discipline of saying, okay, every day, let's meet up at this time and let's just sit for 20 minutes and we're just going to try this out.
But with the TV on, though, right?
No. But I can watch TV while I'm doing it. All the time with me. Be like, let's try the quiet game.
Well,
and did it work?
Yeah.
Allie, that's different because that's,
we all ask you to try the quiet game, Allie.
You talk a lot.
Sorry.
And he didn't want that.
Steve, all right, one more question on this, and I apologize for spending so much time on this, but I'm really genuinely interested. It seems like you've gotten such great results from it. People who meditate regularly say that if they miss it, it's like people who exercise regularly and miss it. You just feel crappy. Like your day just doesn't feel right if you don't make that time for yourself. Is that what it's like for you too?
No, I think that just like for me, same thing with working out. If I guess you're right. You know, I guess in the end you do feel crappy because since I came back from Spain, it's just funny. You go back to the U.S. and like you start getting slumpy with like the habits, the Western habits. You know, it's funny with like, it all comes together. I do kind of feel crappy. I guess I wasn't going to say that in the beginning, but it's the same thing. You know, when you have a really good positive routine and you get out of it for like some lazy reason,
yeah,
that's unnecessary. Because working out
and meditating
makes you gives you more
energy. That's our birthright. That's our birthright is to make terrible decisions, Steve. You mentioned Spain. Do I recall the last time you were in, did you have a weekly gig in Spain? Like you literally flew to Spain like every 6 days.
Well, actually, I lived there. So in the summer times, it just made more sense for me to have a villa in Ibiza because I have every single Monday for 19 Mondays I was playing on the island.
Wow. And then you had to fly to Las Vegas every weekend, right, to work there or wherever, right?
Well, it's mainly I just stayed in Europe and then I would fly like back to, you know, the US and do, you know, a power weekend of shows of like four different shows and then come back and then
Amazing.
Stay in Europe
you
and
would fly
do all
back from Europe to do
a power weekend. I'm exhausted.
Not even a week. That's insane.
Cuz you got to get back on Monday. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people actually, you know, obviously I'm sure there's plenty of people that wake up at 3 a.m. to work.
Right.
That's what I would have to do on Monday or Tuesday morning because my set would start between 3:30 and 4 and I would go till 6. And that's like the peak hour of Ibiza.
Right.
Around 4 a.m.
Kevin, why aren't you living there, man? I know. That sounds like
because
you
I think
be.
I would die if I lived there. Yeah. Maybe so. With my discipline problems, I don't think that's where I need to be.
Steve Aoki is here. It's always a pleasure to have Mr. Aoki here on the Kevin Bean Show. There's a lot of good stuff going on, including, to me anyway, kind of a surprise new release, Neon Future Odyssey, Parts 1 and Parts 2, back out with new tracks and collaborations and lots of fun stuff that we will talk about with Steve when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Steve Aoki, back visiting here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve, you have 3 million Twitter followers now. How's that feel, Ben? What kind of responsibility do you feel before you press send?
That's pretty awesome. I mean, I've been using Twitter forever, feels like. So yeah,
you were way early on it.
And it's cool. I mean, for a while I was like, do people still use Twitter? You know, I was always thinking like, I mean, how many people are actually reading these tweets?
Out of all the people that follow you, that always occurs to me too. Because most of the time, if you're looking at Twitter when it comes across the line, but if you're not, you usually don't go back and check on stuff.
But I realize it's not necessarily for like how people communicate to each other. That's more through like Snapchat or Instagram, whatever, you know. I think it's really for like people, like musicians like myself or artists that are doing things and the public that want to hear about it. Or for me, I like it for the news. Like to see what's going on with like what's breaking, what's trending, what's going on in pop culture.
Well, Steve is here. I'm glad we got you in this week because you've got a bunch of things going on, including Neon Future Odyssey, which is the name of the new collection that went up on iTunes and all other digital services on Friday. Now, what is this? This is all the songs from the last two records, Volume 1 and Volume 2?
Yeah, so it's
plus more.
Yeah, Volume 1, Volume 2, and 6 new songs. And
nice.
There's a lot of collaborations. One I did with Borgor, The Power of Now, we're talking about, is also on there with Headhunters. And then I did a song, it's my ode to Celine Dion called Titanic.
All right, let's talk about that. That's an odd choice. How did that come about?
Okay, so I was preparing my set for what's to me like the most influential festival out there, Tomorrowland.
Where is that? I'm sorry, that's in...
It's in Belgium.
Belgium, yeah.
But it's also like, you know, it's live streamed and there's... I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people watching it online. And I was closing main stage on the Friday. So I was like, all right, so I have a responsibility to do a really crazy show. You know, I got
to
bring something new.
You have to step it up.
I have to surprise people,
all right.
You know. So I was thinking of what song could I bring into the set that everyone knows.
Right.
And it's like no one's really done. And I'm sure people have done it, but I haven't heard it in a while. So... Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I want to try to remix My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Sure. Now, that song doesn't leap out at you as maybe that's the song you want to remix.
Well, I was thinking, like, you got to think of something out of the box. You can't be like Oasis or the Beatles. I'm just thinking about Oasis and the Beatles, actually. But then I was like, Celine Dion. Celine Dion is, like, so cool.
And everyone knows and that
everyone
song,
knows
whether they
it.
Want to admit it or not.
Yeah, it's like Lion King. Like, you know, you think of that song, you know. Savannah. Like, people know that one.
So what did you do with it specifically that night?
Okay, so I made this drop. So I made a remix. I used her vocals. I used a sample of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made this new drop that's hard. And it's one of my favorite new drops. And I played it out, and it went viral. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to happen, but there's going to be a lot of haters going, oh, my God, Steve Aoki's ruining EDM. She's playing Celine Dion at a... festival, like what the, you know, what's going on, you know? But then it's funny, all these haters didn't get it, but I play it every show, and the whole place, every place, wherever I play, doesn't matter what country, erupts. Everyone's singing along and everyone's enjoying the moment. So all the haters, you need to be in the middle around all the people that are embracing this song that's incredibly epic. And to top it all off, for myself, right before we released the song, because I made a new break because I couldn't clear the sample.
Okay.
So I made a new break, and I called it Titanic, and I met Celine Dion, and she was one of the most like coolest people I've met, and I mean she's so funny.
She personally is very nice.
Very self-deprecating too. She gets it.
She's so humble. She gets it.
She's
funny.
Not for everybody, right?
And my friend Scott right here, who's filming. He filmed like her rapping the song, and like cutting it up live, like a live remix. So we're going to do – we're going to make a cool video of like the whole thing of me meeting her because she's so – she's like so animated.
Weirdest life of anyone we've ever
you
met.
You really do. Steve, here's what I love about that story, and thank you for sharing that with us. But what I love about that story is you had to have – you knew that – you knew before you played it that there were going to be people who would hate it. But you also knew that it was the right thing to do for you. You knew – you had conviction in the decision to do something that you knew was not going to please everybody. And I love that. I love that you went ahead with that. And that's, I mean, that's what you want in an artist, is somebody who's following their creative spirit rather than just doing what they think the audience wants to hear. Because you tell the audience what they want to hear. That's how that works.
Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. No, that's, I mean,
do you get a lot of people who just don't understand any of your world?
Are you kidding?
And so they just hate.
Yeah.
Right?
The cakes are a big hate topic.
Really?
Yeah.
How could someone hate that? Who cares?
I know. It's
you
crazy.
You either love it or you don't care. How could somebody hate it?
The big criticism in the dance community is that it distracts from the music. So like all the entertainment things that happen during the show takes away from the actual music part of the show.
Right.
But it's enhancing the show.
Yeah.
Which enhances your emotional experience. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, because when you go see a show, it's not just – you're not going there and closing your eyes and just listening. You're watching. You're seeing. You're feeling. Everything is all part of the
cake. You're dancing. You're part of an audience.
Yeah, the cake is so fun.
What about the – I see that you got an event. Am I right about this? I think you're in Syracuse this weekend and you're doing some paint party.
Oh, yeah. The Life in Color. I mean, those parties are insane.
What's the – now, is that literally people spraying everybody around them with paint?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you can YouTube and you could just see like these huge hoses, and it's just everyone's colored, covered in like yellow, green, orange. I remember this girl, she had like green arms, she had like a yellow body, and then her inside of her mouth was like bright orange. Because they're just covered with paint everywhere. It's like the messiest party you could play.
And the messiest party ever. So do you just hand out that stuff to everybody who walks in, or do people just bring their own? Or I mean, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It's a messy production, but they have like paint, you know,
water
cannons.
Soluble. Cannons.
Yeah, and they just fly all over.
I need a
paint hoses
cannon.
On stage.
I need a paint cannon.
How do you protect your gear? Is it like a dome over you?
That's all in front of me.
Okay.
So
you don't get hit.
Over. Yeah, so I'm behind. I'm just watching. It's more of a show for me.
Personal show.
It's definitely more of a show for me. I'm just like, oh, this is insane.
All right. Steve Aoki is our guest here on the Kevin DeBede Show, by the way. Again, Neon Future Odyssey released digitally this past Friday. Check it out for the new songs and more. Let's talk about one more thing before you go, and that is The Hive. What's up?
The Hive is a film that I got involved with Cary Grant, who's producer of the Scream franchise that was, you know, was my one of my favorite thrillers, and he got me involved a couple of years ago, and we teamed up with the Nerdist and I got my music involved in the film, and you know, this is my first time stepping into a different world, so I was lucky for Cary to usher me in and get me involved with all the different factors.
Is it
and
something
layers.
That you've always wanted to do, or does this happen because?
It would happen more for like with Cary asking me to be involved in the music side of things, but then I really wanted to get more involved in the film itself, and you know, he's a perfect person to do that because he's opened so many doors for so many people, and he's really he's a great facilitator and connector with you know, he connected me with the director and the composer and just. You know, there's so many different things I didn't know about making a movie, because before then I was involved in the storylines for every single video for Neon Future, and Neon Future is all based in the future. So
right.
All the videos, you know, the one I did with Fall Out Boy or Linkin Park, were all based in. They're all connected stories.
And did you enjoy that process of putting those videos together?
I love the process. Yeah. So this was for me to get involved in a bigger project. A much larger project with these teams on teams to create, you know, all the effects and the narration for this movie. That was incredible.
I can't believe how much you have going on a day-to-day basis, Steve. We're always exhausted when you leave just because of hearing about the life that you lead. Do you think there'll ever come a time where you will retire and not be involved in being creative? Can you imagine a scenario like that?
I don't know. I always have the motto that I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, like I'm really, you know, it's like, what's the point of retiring? We're here to live. We're here to
right.
experience, take adventures, and learn, constantly learn.
Well, you certainly seem to be enjoying it. You bring bring a lot of pleasure to the rest of the world. So thanks for everything that you do. And thanks for always including a little bit of time for the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
And it is 8:52.
Handing it over to Ralph Garman with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's up, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Crimson Peak?
Yay!
It used to be my nickname in college, the Crimson Peak.
Is that right?
Yeah. But now there's a movie about me. Actually, I don't think this is about what I did in college at all. I think this is about... this is a classic gothic horror story. You don't see these kind of films anymore. And that's why I'm very excited about this particular film. Plus, it's amazing cast. Tom Hiddleston, who's always amazing. Jessica Chastain, who could be lovelier. Mia Wasikowska.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Hunnam. Many people whose names are difficult to say are in this film. But it's worthwhile. It is Hiddleston plays a seductive... handsome stranger who sweeps a young woman off her feet and brings her to his estate atop a mountain of blood red clay, hence Crimson Peak. But why is that clay blood red, you might ask? Don't ask, because then you're going to die. How about that?
Hmm.
Huh. Film looks terrifying, exciting, interesting.
You are all going to die tonight.
Come see it at our special advanced screening at the Pacific's The Grove Theater, October the 13th, which is 3 days before it opens up in theaters everywhere on October the 16th. If you'd like to see this film early, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that particular phone number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Crimson Peak.
Love this time of year.
Me too. You get all your scary flicks. You all know Yeezus, right? Our soon-to-be next president after Donald Trump?
Sure, sure.
Kanye West had the legendary album Yeezus. And you're familiar with the band Weezer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course, yeah.
You like the Weezer?
Love them.
Hey, you like the Weezer?
The Weezer.
So what happens if you take Yeezus and Weezer and you put them together?
Yeezer?
Yeezer indeed, my friend. Yeezer indeed. There's an Ohio State University sophomore named Alec Hodowanik. Can't anybody be named Smith or Jones anymore?
Nope. I can't believe he's not in Crimson Peak.
I can't either. He has inadvertently created an underground hit. You can read all about it over at radio.com. But also, I got a little taste for you. What he's done is he searched online for the right a cappella vocals from Kanye West and the perfect backing tracks from Weezer. And then he took the two and married them gloriously. And what we have now is Yeezer. Here's a little taste of what it sounds like when Kanye West is being backed by a Weezer track. It is a fascinating experiment.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Flying down low rapids, Kanye. My heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can just make love last.
I wouldn't have expected that.
I know, here's the real thing.
I'm just bored. In the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV, and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man. Beverly Hills, that's
where I your motherfucking get him
high. Yeezer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeezer.
Now, correct me if I'm misremembering this, Ralph, but isn't this exactly what we went through years ago with the Danger Mouse and Jay-Z and the Beatles? Remember, we put the white album and the black album together to make the gray album? Exact same concept?
Yeah, this is not a new concept.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this is the same thing all around.
People
and
have
now
been
it's
mashing
just
up
Kanye
for
West
years.
And Weezer, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's good. I like
I can tell, but you just pooped all over it.
Hasn't someone done this before?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't this been done many, many times
somebody
before?
Else.
Oh, yawn. Oh, you bubble-headed booby.
I'm not pooping out of a wall.
Get me off this planet, Major Smith.
reminiscent of a thing. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I like it.
No, we're not saying it's just brand new. We're just saying you haven't heard Kanye West and Weezer together.
I agree. I'm with you.
I don't think
that's
you are.
The last place you are, by the way. is with me.
So that was Yeezer? Is that what
Weezus.
That was? Is that what we're listening to? Weezus. Gotcha. Okay.
Not
Weezus. No, it was Yeezer.
Kendrick. The same hospital with Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV, and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man.
All right, so that's pretty good.
I think so, too.
Yeah, really? It's been done before.
Other people have messed up.
If I'm misremembering, but doesn't this suck?
I didn't say that at all.
That's what you were saying.
A lot of people are getting back into the music business after being off for a while. Will Smith apparently working on new music. While he was filming Suicide Squad, he spent his days off in the studio. And he said he has more than 30 tracks ready for a new album. He also revealed that a tour is in the works for next summer with his old partner, DJ Jazzy Jeff. He's also got Bad Boys 3 in the works with Martin Lawrence. So he's going to be a very busy man for the next year.
Hope he brings out Jaden.
Oh, I do too. Hope his kid's involved in all of these projects. And you haven't heard the name Seal in a while. He is getting back into music as well. He's got a new album called Seven. The first single, Life on the Dance Floor, is currently available online.
It's good. It's a good song. Have you guys heard it?
Hasn't Seal put out a bunch of music there before?
I have not heard it. No.
Yawn.
It's really good. I mean, you think you go, oh, Seal, who cares? But then you hear it and you go, wow, this dude can really sing. It's a really good song. Don't you have a clip, Kevin? I assumed you would.
I do, yeah.
Dave says he's going to a Seal listening party tonight.
See,
I guess
there
he can tell
go.
Us all about it.
What is happening?
Seal, the album's called Seven. I assume it's because it's his seventh album. He's working with a lot of the same people from his previous album, and known as the Seal Team Six.
Well played.
I managed to get that in there no matter how much you people tried to derail me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeremy Sisto, 41 years old today, played against Kevin and Bean in a game on the Craig Kilborn Late 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 Show that was known as Yambo. The answer we're looking for, Yambo, was the name
Yambo.
Of the game. Yambo.
Yeah.
Thanks to the listeners who sent in that information. We were talking Yambo. About it earlier. Kevin and Bean have no memory of their own lives, so we have to turn to other people to try to find out what happened to them.
Of Angelinos wake up with my next guests every morning. They are the morning guys on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Kevin and Bean.
Well, I hear the tape, so I assume it did happen, but I sure don't remember it.
Wow.
Yoan Griffith is 42 years old today, very talented and handsome actor, and a good guy, nice man. I like him, despite
okay.
his oddly spelt Welsh name. Amy Jo Johnson, 45 years old today. And Elizabeth Shue. Oh, Shue. Didn't she have an acting brother as well? Andrew,
yeah,
right?
Andrew. He was on Melrose Place.
Now I believe he's a big entrepreneur.
Is he?
Yes.
He's married to someone.
One of the hosts of Good
Today's
Morning
Show
America,
Good Morning America.
On ABC. Yeah. She just recently conquered breast cancer.
Yes.
And apparently they're all very happy together, so. Congratulations to the whole Shoe family and all their achievements. I'm Robin. Haven't other people beaten the breast cancer, though, really? When you think about it. Isn't she sort of boring with all her breast cancer? With her double mastectomy? Hasn't that been done before?
I'm just saying, you guys.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Hey, what are you guys doing on May 22nd
of
next year? Of 2016.
I have
May 22nd.
I think those are my bowling playoffs.
2016.
My tournament.
May 22nd? Like,
May
22nd. 8 months from now?
Yeah. 2016, yeah.
Not sure.
Cure is playing the Hollywood Bowl.
I'm going to the Hollywood Bowl.
That's a good answer.
Yep.
We're going to give away some tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067 for callers 20 and 21. A pair of tickets to see The Cure. The reason we're giving them away now is the tickets go on sale this Friday.
Ah. See, now it all.
Mommy likes that.
Oh.
Please
Allie
stop
keeps
that.
Me very happy about
The
Cure.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, don't put that on her, you creepy
Hey,
bastard.
Good luck. Call now. Win from K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for a final look at your Showbiz Bee.
Way to sell it.
Have a little energy.
Way to create excitement.
I was just recapping. Right, already, you've already said all that. You already got the details.
Now we'll get right back to you.
You thought we needed the low energy version?
We want to hit that other part of the demo.
520-1067. I love you.
Is that better? Is everybody happy now?
Right, call Beans appealing to the people aren't that excited about the cure.
Call now.
All right.
I guess. No, this is a great show in a historic venue. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a major, major, major part of K-Rock's history, the cure, in person. How's that? Is that better?
Better.
Okay.
Now me?
Now you.
All right.
Now you.
Can't the Grateful Dead just stay dead? Can't they just...
Are they coming back again?
That they're dead and just stop?
I think Jerry can.
They're coming back again?
Yeah.
No!
Remnants of the Grateful Dead, as they're now known.
Survivors.
The scraps that are left over from the good Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead adjacent.
Are going to be performing again with special guests. Now they're calling themselves Dead and Company.
Okay.
They have just added a show at the Madison Square Garden on November the 6th.
All right.
And 10,000 seats will be given away. This seems like a bad business model. 5,000 fans will randomly be selected, and they will each get two tickets. That's basically half the venue of Madison Square Garden. The concert will also be live streamed. They are just hell-bent on making no money on this whatsoever. Dead and Company, all spelled out, .com is where you go to enter if you have any interest in seeing the remnants of the Grateful Dead. And I think John Mayer is also performing with them. So
yes, he is filling in for Jerry, as Trey Anastasio did for the last round of shows. And let me ask you guys this opinion, please. Suckers like me who heard, no, but this is really it. We're really hanging it up after this. Pay this amount of money and come see our final shows in Santa Clara, California, and
right.
Chicago. But that's it, because then we're done. When I say this is it, this is it.
Right.
How should we feel about them playing Madison Square Garden in a couple of months?
And giving away 10,000 free tickets?
Yes.
You should feel like a sucker!
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 Taken advantage of, right?
You're a sucker!
Jive turkey?
Yeah. I'd go jive turkey as well.
Jive turkey, sucker!
I do feel a little abused by a band I've loved my whole life.
Yeah. Oh, the Dead touched me. Been saying right now.
F*** hippies. I mean, period.
Right.
F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Yep. Been saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
True. I hope they just all OD on patchouli. Just.
Can you OD on that?
Yes. They can. If anybody can, it's those freaking hippies. Ugh. With their endless guitar solos, and they're just, their songs.
A song isn't
death.
Good unless it's 20 minutes long, Ralph. You know
sweet
that.
Jesus. And you don't smoke out. You're not even stoned. You're the only guy at the Grateful Dead
show.
That's
true.
That's not high.
I love their music. They've written so many classic, great songs. I love them.
You are just a dumpster fire of a music fan. Anything that is recorded, you say, I love it.
And
I listen to it. You listen to all kinds of crap.
Yeah, I used to think that he had better musical taste than I do because I have a very unique musical taste.
Right, and you're sort of narrow musical taste,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Beans, very expansive.
He likes anything that's music.
That's the problem. There's no discerning.
Anything. It's all great.
Give me more Bjork and Grateful Dead remnants and just Miley Cyrus. Just pile it on me. Just smear it in my face.
Is it music? I'll take it.
It's not quite like that, you guys.
It's exactly
just
like
that.
But
I take your point. Look, The Dead is a band that has been popular for 50 years. There are millions of fans of The Grateful Dead. This isn't like some obscure,
yes,
you know, death metal that I'm trying to say I love. I'm a fan, like lots of people.
Who take a tab of acid and just go to another place for
that's
a week
a
at a time.
Stereotype. There are Grateful Dead fans of all ages and all kinds. It's a stereotype.
They're all jive turkeys, sucker.
Well, they might be jive turkeys. That actually may be accurate.
Yeah. Baywatch star Jeremy Jackson. He's in trouble. He stabbed a lady. That ain't right.
And that ain't right.
This is his second stabbing arrest this year.
And that ain't right.
No, it isn't. I am strictly a one stabbing attack a year man.
Really?
I think two
That's
stabbing
it?
Attacks a year is just
too much.
It's just way over the line. According to the victim, Jeremy Jackson was trying to jack her boyfriend's car. She tried to stop him, and that's when the stabbing began. Stabbed in her back, arm, and leg.
Man. Well, she would put a negative spin on it then.
What?
Just saying, if you're going to believe the victim, of course it's going to sound bad for Jeremy.
Jackson's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon and criminal threats. These are both felonies. They could give him up to 7 years in prison for each count should he be found guilty. As I mentioned, this is his second stabbing arrest. He stabbed a guy in April. Well, I think he's an equal opportunity stabber. You know, he's not a chauvinist about his stabbing. He'll stab a lady.
He'll stab anyone.
He said it was self-defense. The DA agreed, so he didn't get charged with that one. But this time, not so lucky. So it looks like he's in trouble. And you know, the Back to the Future anniversary is coming up. You know, the moment that Michael J. Fox travels to into the future in Back to the Future 2 is October the 15th, 2015. That's right around the corner. And so to celebrate, Pepsi, which was featured in that particular film, when Marty gets to the future, he wants to get a Pepsi. He orders a Pepsi, and he gets a Pepsi Perfect. And now Pepsi is making that soft drink, Pepsi Perfect. It has a limited edition bottle. It's made with real sugar, except no substitutes. And it can be yours for the low, low price of $20.15 to celebrate the year 2015.
You know what? You don't understand. A bottle of pop.
Why don't they just make it $2,050, for God's sakes? It doesn't make sense. $20.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is.
$20 for a bottle of Pepsi is reasonable.
It's crazy. Stop it. Everybody stop it.
From what I've learned from the movie Back to the Future, one of the best movies, that could be very devastating to know too much about your own future. Because in that sense, you, by knowing about too much about your own future, you can screw up the present past.
Oh, well put.
Stop it.
Beer Mug is like our own Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's able to break down all those science-y questions we have. Don't quite understand how they work. He's able to clears it up for us. 6,500 bottles will be made. That's all. 200 of those are going to be earmarked for the first 200 people who show at Pepsi's Comic-Con booth in New York City this weekend dressed as Marty McFly. They are making you jump through some hoops to get this Pepsi, people.
So you need $20 and you've got to wear an outfit.
I'm going to be at the con this weekend in New York City.
Oh, you are?
I'm going to get a couple of them. I'm going to bring them back for you guys so you can taste Pepsi Perfect.
Yeah.
You're going to
waste a $20 bottle of soda on us?
Yes. We're all going to crack them open here. We're going to celebrate. And we're going to sip them.
It's very generous of you, bro. Delicious. Thank you for that.
Can't wait to dress up like Marty McFly. Just stuck.
Oh, my God.
I don't think
you're the worst person that has ever lived.
Ever.
Speaking of Back to the Future 2.
You're a terrible human being.
When Marty goes into the future. Remember the theater there in Twin Peaks? Where does he live? Twin Pines, Twin Oaks, Twin Towers, Twin Wonder Twins? Where does he live? He lives.
Don't know.
Who cares?
What? Hill Valley, that's it. Why is it called? Oh, it's the mall. It's the Twin Oaks Mall, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Twin Pines.
Get out.
Hill Valley. He goes back to Hill Valley. He goes to Hill Valley of the future. He goes to the future. Kevin, follow me on this
still
one.
Talking about
and when
this?
He gets out of the DeLorean, he looks at the movie theater. What's he see? What's on the marquee? What movie's showing?
I don't
care.
Kevin,
how could you not know this?
Is it E.T.?
No!
Oh, what is it?
It's Jaws 19. See, the joke was in the future. Back to the Future was a Universal Pictures release, by the way. The joke was, see, the Jaws sequels were coming fast and furiously back in the day.
Right.
I think they were up to, like, Jaws 4.
Much as the Fast and Furious movies are today from Universal.
Exactly. At the time of the release of the film, there was, like, Jaws 4 or something like that. So they said, wouldn't it be funny if we extrapolate that out, and in the future, it's Jaws 19 is in theaters. Isn't that funny? Well, Universal Studios... showing their own sense of humor, this week has released the trailer to Jaws 19.
Okay.
I'd like you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the trailer from Jaws 19.
Jaws made you afraid to go in the water. Jaws 2 made you afraid to go back in the water. Jaws 3D was a new dimension in terror. In Jaws 4 The Revenge, It was personal. Then it was just business. Then pure pleasure. Cyberjaws made you afraid to log on. And RoboJaws made you afraid of robotic sharks. Then Chief Brody's grandson assembled a super team of shark hunters. Jaws 10, it was man versus shark versus all the terrors of the deep. Outer space, then a prequel, and a sequel to the prequel. And then a new era in terror began. Jaws started a family. Battled a Russian shark named Ivan Sharkovsky, took a bite out of the Big Apple, and learned about love from a mysterious stranger. Jaws 18 Origins, the mind-blowing reboot. Now, the oceans are disappearing, and to save their home, the sharks must attack. Jaws 19. This time, it's really, really personal.
Come on!
I'm in.
That's pretty funny.
Crack yourself open a bottle of $20 Pepsi and sit back and watch Jaws 19.
Boom.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeremy Sisto, very talented actor, 41 years old today. Ian Griffith celebrates his 42nd birthday. Amy Jo Johnson's 45. And the lovely, the talented, one of my big crushes, Elizabeth Shue, celebrates her 52nd birthday today. She was just on Blunt Talk with Patrick Stewart, and she was just lovely and funny and charming and sexy. Spectacular, lovely, kind, nice, special.
Right. You enjoyed talented. Her performance? Right.
She was gifted.
Thumbs up.
She was friendly. She All was right. approachable.
Yep.
She was warm. She was kind.
Okay. You got a good feeling from her appearance on the show?
Yeah, she was all right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Luis Guzman in the studio talking about Code Black. We have Brian Deegan on the show tomorrow. We have funny man Brad Williams on the program tomorrow. And we're going to talk to Daniel Cormier, who defended his light heavyweight championship this past Saturday night in a crazy fight. We're going to talk to him tomorrow morning as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.